Good afternoon, everybody, once again. If you could turn to the book of Numbers 22. Numbers 22. I went to see a movie the other day. It's called The Star. I don't know if anyone has seen that. In some theaters, it's an animated, like a cartoon, telling of the nativity story, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so I thought, well, let's check it out and see what it's about. So it's not that I want to give a movie review or anything. One of the things that surprised me the most about the movie was all the voices of the people who did the characters. Many of them are not believers. You know, some of them comedians that you would never want to turn on if kids are in the room. You know what I mean? Like very foul-mouthed comedians, things like that. It surprised me that they would want to be a part of this story. And I want to bring a message this afternoon telling us the Lord loves to surprise us. The Lord loves to surprise us, and He wants to surprise you during this Christmas season. I believe that when we look at the coming of the Lord into this world, one of the things that stands out more than anything is that everything about His coming was a surprise and unexpected, and not how we would have done it if we were involved. Instead of being, you know the story, instead of being born in a palace, He's born in a manger. Instead of all Israel coming out to worship, it was only these poor shepherds, etc. All of this shows us that God many times works through surprising us with His message, with His truth, in places that we don't expect it. And I think that if I could just encourage you and encourage myself, be on the lookout for a surprise from God. You don't even know what He has in store for you in the next weeks and months. You may be praying for something. You may be hoping for something. But a lot of times, the best things that come to us by surprise. We thought we wanted one thing, but it ended up we get something very different. I remember when I was a child, and Christmas was always a big deal in our house. And I remember we did the whole Santa thing and everything. So I won't go into that's a different sermon. But so I remember really wanting this toy. And the funny thing is, I can't remember what the toy was. But I wrote my letter to Santa, and I was all keyed up on Christmas morning. I really wanted that toy. And I came downstairs and looked under the tree, and it wasn't there. And I was disappointed. And then later that morning, my dad said, "Come on, kids, come downstairs." So we went down in the basement. And we went down in the basement, and there was a big pool table down in the basement. And I was amazed. I didn't even know to want a pool table. Like, it was so fun. We played on that as kids forever. And it's funny because I wanted some small thing that I don't even remember now what it was. And I thought Santa was going to bring it, and I thought it was going to be under the tree. But it turned out my parents brought it. It was some bigger thing that I wouldn't have even known to hope for, and it wasn't under the tree. It was downstairs in the basement. And I think that we're going to look at a story today that shows us God sometimes will bring His truth and a message and His gifts from a surprising person, from a surprising place, and with a surprising purpose. So the star of that movie, the star, was this talking donkey, if you're wondering. So it reminded me of another talking donkey in the scriptures. So that's why I want to look at Numbers 22. Numbers 22 tells us the story of a wise man from the east, Balaam. And so we see all the way through Numbers 22, through the end of chapter 24, the story of Balaam. And hopefully this is something that you're familiar with. We don't have time, obviously, to tell the whole story in this session, but I thought I would just read quickly through some of the details and then summarize the rest. And so in verse 1 of 22, "Then the people of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was in great dread of the people, because they were many. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, 'This horde will now lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field.' So Balak the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the people of Amal, to call him, saying, 'Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are dwelling opposite me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed.'" And so it says the elders went with fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam. Who was this Balaam? If you look at history of the time, there was a really famous, like a stone or some kind of thing, a carving that says Balaam, the son of Beor, the man who was a seer of the gods. And this is probably the same person. Balaam was someone who practiced divination, an expert in magic and astrology in the east, towards Babylon, towards the river. And this is a man who was famous for his arts of divination, right? And so the interesting thing about the story, if you know it, is that God uses this strange vessel to bless the nation of Israel. Because what happens is, although Balak wanted him to come and pronounce curses on them so that he could defeat them, if you know the story, Balaam kept, he said, "Okay, I'll come with you." He didn't want to because they weren't paying him enough money. But eventually they said, "Okay, we'll give you even more." And he finally says, "Okay, I'll go." But eventually the words that came out of Balaam's mouth were only words of blessing. And so God used this pagan magician to speak surprising words of blessing over Israel. It's really an interesting story. The other surprising thing, like I said, is the talking donkey. So if you look down further in chapter 22, you'll see that Balaam, this supposed expert in everything spiritual, famous for his spiritual insight, was almost going to be destroyed by an angel who was blocking his path, but he couldn't even see the angel. And who saw it? His donkey. And so we see in verses 22 and down that the donkey kept veering off and trying to get around the angel, and Balaam was upset. He was beating the donkey, and so God opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey says in verse 28, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you've ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. You know, his eyes were blind to the truth. And he needed a donkey to, you know, protect him. A surprising source of protection for him. And I wonder for us, in what ways are our eyes blinded to the things that God is trying to show us? You know, one of the first hymn that we sung this morning spoke about this idea of being blinded, of having fuzzy vision or dim vision. And the prayer and the hope was, what will it be to dwell above when sin will no longer blind us and block our sight, where our flesh and our senses will no longer make it so hard to see the truth? And I think that sometimes God can use surprising things to alert us to the truth. A lot of times we think, well, there's one place that I'm going to find that God's going to speak to me. I have it all planned out. I'll come to church on Sunday morning. I'll come to the meeting and God will speak to me from the pulpit or whatever it might be. Or I'm going to open my Bible in the morning and he's going to speak to me. There are times, and I can speak personally to this, there's times when I'll wake up in the morning and I'll read the word and it's almost like I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing it. I'm not feeling it. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's almost like I'm saying, "Speak, Lord, I'm ready to hear what you'd have to say." But there have been times for me when it's almost like all I hear is the sound of my own voice, my own thoughts. I get distracted. And then I'll be walking along through my day, and someone at work will say something, and I'll realize, and it'll click. And I'll say, "That's what you wanted to say to me, Lord." Sometimes he will surprise us with the truth. And it will come in unexpected ways, from unexpected people. Be on the lookout. Be ready for what he has in store for you, because you might miss it. We might miss it if we only say, "Well, God could never use that person to speak to me. I know all about him." Say you have a friend at work or an acquaintance at work, and you know what they think of God. You'll say, "God will never use them." God could make a donkey speak and bring the truth. He can make someone like Balaam, a pagan, who was obviously just in it for the money, later ruins Israel with his advice toward Moab. You can read the rest of the story. A wicked man. But God could still use someone like him to speak the truth. We need the discernment of the Spirit to be able to hear and receive the truth, sometimes from surprising places. So if we look at chapter 23, we see Balaam's first message. Of course, Balak, the king, is angry. "I brought you here to curse them and you're blessing them. Go over there and look at them from another angle." It's a funny story. I love this story, and I encourage you to read it in your own time. So he goes to a different place and sees them again and gives another message, and it's an amazing message of blessing. He says things like, verse 24, "Behold, a people." He's amazed at what God has done with the people of Israel. And Balak's like, "Ah, I can't believe this. This isn't working." But I'm mostly interested in chapter 24. Because chapter 24 is when Balaam receives the prophecy of the Lord Jesus and his coming. And so I just wanted to read this starting in verse 1. "When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to look for omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, 'The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered.'" And then he goes on, "How lovely are your tents." And this message is a message of blessing that is different from the others, because here we have the mention of this coming king. And so in verse 7, at the end of verse 7, he says, "His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted." Who is this king? You know, at this time, there was no hint of a king in Israel. This was going to be years later that they would have a king. And even that king, probably partly this is prophesying the coming of David, a man after God's own heart. But David was a faulty person. He was only a man. Balaam, this strange person with a reputation for divination, something that the Bible condemns in no uncertain terms, gets a vision of the king, and he speaks it, of the Lord Jesus. And then down in verse 15, we have his final message. And it's in the final message where we see the prophecy that the other wise men knew, right? So look at verse 15. "Once again, he takes up his discourse and said, 'The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.'" This is the prophecy of the coming Messiah. This is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus revealed to this foreigner, a man who worshipped who knows how many gods. But God opened his mouth to speak this truth instead of giving it to one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And this is the interesting thing for us. Let's flip to Matthew chapter 2, and we see this parallel story at the time of the Lord's coming, where God would bring magicians from the east and give them clarity of vision that they might worship the king. Praise comes to the baby Jesus from a surprising place, from surprising people. And his birth is revealed as fulfilling a surprising purpose, something that was not expected. So this is our familiar story in chapter 2 of the so-called wise men. I think I can go ahead and read these verses for us. It's not that many, but just to get the story in our minds. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And this, of course, is our familiar story. We know this has nothing to do, it's not when the Lord Jesus was born. It was later, probably around 2 years later, that this happened. But I'm struck by the parallels between this story and the story of Balaam. Once again, we have an angry king, a fearful king, summoning men from the east to give him some peace, to give him what he thinks he wants and needs, power. And once again, we have surprising source of blessing. You know, we always say these are wise men. The word is magi, right? Which we know. Magi, that's the word we get magic from. These were, like Balaam, experts in divination, in astrology. Their religion was probably Zoroastrianism, which believes in two gods, a good god and a bad god, and they're always fighting. So far from the truth. This is not, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. This is the pagans. Why did God bring these men to give worship to Jesus? What was he showing us with Matthew 2? I think that he wants to surprise us. I think he wants us to see that sometimes the people who think they're in the in crowd and they know it all, miss it. And sometimes blessing and truth can be revealed from a surprising source. The truth comes not from Jerusalem and the scribes and Pharisees. It comes from the east, Persia, past Babylon, from these magicians. They're the ones who receive the coming of the Lord with great joy. They're the ones who bring gifts. What does this have to do with us? As we are thinking and kind of meditating on the coming of the Lord this time of year, let us pray that God would open our eyes, that we would see the truth that he has to reveal to us. Let's be ready and looking for the surprises that God has in store for us. He wants to bless you more than you think. The Jews at the time were praying for Messiah. Every morning they would pray and look forward to the coming of the Messiah. But he was far better than they thought. We always say he was different than they thought. It wasn't just different. He was better than they were expecting. God has something in store for you that's better than what you're praying for. More than what you're seeking. I pray that for you and for me, that our eyes would be opened. Whatever it takes, a donkey speaking, some surprising person at work or at school saying something that they don't even know what they're saying, but that God can bring the truth to you and me in this surprising way, that we might have more clarity in our vision of God. He is better than we think. His gifts are more wonderful than we expect. We're like those kids looking through the Sears catalog, circling the little $10 toy, dreaming of it. When we have this great thing waiting for us that we don't even know about, let's have our eyes open. Let's have our expectation raised that God might surprise us in these coming weeks with His presence, which is always more than we could anticipate, for His glory.